locations in the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low. The jigsaw jazz in the get fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts. Two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, or just clap your hands, or just clap your hands.
Where's that?
Takes the snap, gives a look left, now throws right to Alshon Jeffery. He's got it for the touchdown. Over the top, he squeezed the pigskin of the defender, House. And Alshon's in the house with a touchdown of 6 yards. And the Bears lead the Packers again.
This is really neat because, like I said earlier, it means so much to our team. It's for the division lead, so it's special. I'm very thankful. I'll, you know, probably take some more stock as we fly home tonight. But right now, just trying to enjoy this part of it.
Same thing everybody goes through. Aaron takes a lot of reps during the week. You know, Seneca probably is on the low side of backups. We do a lot of work with our backup guys, you know, after practice and things like that. But, you know, it's nothing like live reps. And I think it was evident tonight.
Welcome back in the zone on the Buzz Radio Network in the Fury Electric Studio. Justin Akery, Chris Kane, Matty T, and you. That was... I still have to look. I can't remember if it's Cade McNown or Josh McCown. Bottom line is, it's the Bears' backup quarterback, McCown, talking there. And he said it was a special moment. I'm sure it was for him. Nobody expected him to get a win last night. In fact, I saw a funny little screen save from the picks last night on the ESPN desk. Every single guy but Ditka picked the Packers last night.
When they say every single guy, it wasn't just the desk guys, five of them. It was the extended team that was on the field. It was about 10 different guys, and his is right in the middle. And it's one little Chicago Bear.
I'll give him credit. He called it right.
And he did.
I'll give McCown credit. He has the stupidest haircut, if you didn't see this kid last night, dumbest haircut I've ever seen by anybody.
McCown?
Ever. It's the stupidest looking hairdo I've ever seen. He looks like a total moron. And then the idiot went out and beat my Packers last night. Very disappointing.
Not only that, but you got an injury last night. One that hurts.
Okay, I take it back. He's not an idiot. His haircut's an idiot. 22 of 41, 272. Who has a backup throw 41 times when you have Matt Forte running back?
I don't know.
Forte ran it 24 times. They ran a lot of plays. What did they run? Let's see. They had 33 runs, and he threw it, what did I just say, 41
times? He said 41 times, and he completed 22 of them.
That's 74 plays in an NFL game. I look, jockstrap on this Tuesday to the Packers' defense and offensive line. Offensive line did not protect their backup quarterback very well. Once Aaron Rodgers went out, it was like they just quit playing.
But rushing-wise,
they
the
ran
offensive
the ball
line,
well. No, they did a good
they
job.
Paved the way for Eddie Lacy last night.
Yeah, they had a couple of good touchdown runs. And he wasn't the only one. They had two rushing touchdowns, I think. Starks had a 32-yard run, which is really nice, and that was after the injury. But they did not protect Seneca Wallace very well, I didn't think. Very disappointing.
Seneca Wallace. Just a name.
It's a great name.
You just don't think about anymore.
Mm-mm. Well, he'll get more reps this week. Looks like that Rodgers is going to be out for 3 weeks. So hopefully they can hang in there and stay relevant.
That is a fractured collarbone.
Yeah, but they say three. And it's on his non-throwing side, so he'll be all
right. Okay, yeah.
As long as he don't take another huge shot there. They're going to really do a good job protecting him. So they fall into a tie for first now. Three-way tie. Green Bay, Detroit, and Chicago, all 5-3. The only way it could be worse is if they were the NFC East. The Cowboys are alone in first at 5-4. Eesh.
It's a bad division.
Although Philadelphia had a big win last week. Dallas pulled out a win. Washington looked much better. And the Giants have played better football. They had a bye last week, I guess, right?
Yeah. They needed it, too.
Well, yeah, but they were coming off two wins.
Well,
so
I know,
good.
But they still need to get healthy.
The Giants have – who do they play this week? Oakland's at the Giants. So there's a win for the Giants. Things are going well. Looks like – what's his name? Maybe our prior. Darren McFadden got injured the other day, too, so that was no good.
I know.
We'd love to have the old Hillis versus McFadden game, but I guess that's not going to happen. Also, we didn't talk about it much yesterday, but it came up on the show. Somebody mentioned that Dennis Johnson had been activated by Houston and contributed in what was a near miss over the weekend.
not only activated, but he had a couple nice runs, I think a long of 11 yards, and he even had some people tweeting about him. I mean, there were people like Mark Schlereth saying, hey, Dennis Johnson's got some legs going right now. So it was good to see him getting an opportunity, and really Arian Foster has been inconsistent this year, to say the least.
Well, he's been hurt.
He's been hurt, but at the same time, he hasn't been himself on the field, even when he was healthy.
Well,
I think there's a
healthy has he been, though,
not,
Chris? That's the question.
Well, they've led on to believe, oh, he's okay, but I'm sure he's behind the scenes not as well as he'd like to be. 8 rushes, 36 yards for Johnson.
One other thing about last night's game before we move on, Seneca Wallace has 31 touchdowns, 17 interceptions in his NFL career, so much better than I expected. Much better than McCown or McNown.
I think he has more combined touchdowns than both those guys combined.
That might be right.
Yeah.
Also, Gary Kubiak, it has been reported now officially a mini stroke at halftime.
Ouch.
And a mini stroke is what, Matt? A mini stroke is what happens to someone else. Because if it's you,
it's a major stroke. Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you.
And you stroke
a mini
is serious.
If it's not you. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did you fall out from the stroke? No. Well, then it's not a mini stroke to me, pal. I'm the one that fell out. And of all the NFL coaches and all the college coaches, Gary Kubiak looks like he could almost suit up again.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there are all these dudes that are pushing 285 that are 5'7", like me. 325, 350. There are a lot of unhealthy coaches.
I mean, I don't mean to pick on him, but Andy Reid's a big guy.
Andy Reid's a huge guy.
Look around the league. Even the now interim head coach for Houston, Wade Phillips, he's a little bit older.
Big guy.
He's a big guy. So there's some big coaches around the league. The only other guy I think that could suit up more than anyone would be John Harbaugh, or Jim Harbaugh. And both actually probably could, but Jim especially. He could probably get out there and sling it.
And Jim at least played.
Yes.
John didn't play, but
yeah.
Okay, so the other big issue in the NFL, of course, is this whole debacle down in Miami. As if there weren't enough issues with football in the state of Florida at the professional level. And oh, by the way.
Negative ones, too, by the way.
Don't worry. Don't worry, Greg Schiano. I got something for you, too. You'll get yours. Maybe, you know what? That's the only guy that Incognito could play for, I would think. Those two would get along great. Okay, so Joe Philbin, who is one of the more likable head coaches in the NFL, talking about the situation. It's obviously a huge distraction. It's quite a mess down there. And the guys on the ESPN said, did you see them?
Oh, yeah, last night.
Tom Jackson was livid. I've never seen Tom Jackson so upset as he was last night talking about Richie Incognito. He pulled no punches. He was throwing haymakers, my man, and he destroyed that dude. And look, like I said yesterday on the show, even by Nebraska standards, Richie Incognito is a bad guy. He's a dirty player who's a bad person on and off the field, and it just goes to show you sometimes those guys can get away with it. But this was a little bit out of the blue because he had kind of kept his nose clean in recent months and seasons, I think. I didn't think he had an issue in a while.
Nothing to where it was an alarming, you know, aspect of his game off the field. But how about this, too? When you listen to all these players, I know you've got some sound from Joe Philbin, but when you listen to the players talk about this, and Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio made this point, he said, what's interesting to me is not one player is turning against him. Incognito, that is.
Yeah.
They're all kind of saying, hey, it's just part of the game. You know, it's that mentality. It's the culture of the game, and it's been around that way forever. You know, hazing and whatnot. Now, obviously, this guy took it to a level that no one should ever do. And took it up a step to where you're basically bullying a guy to the point where he doesn't even want to play, he doesn't want to be around.
You wonder why, though. The only thing I would say is, and I'm not defending anybody, but I'm a little curious, and I don't want to victimize the victim here. But it is curious that a man who is as big or bigger than the guy that's bullying him, even though it's a rookie versus veteran mentality, I understand that part of it.
That's a big part of it.
It is surprising to me that you let him push you far enough to where, I mean, enough's enough. At some point, you got to go, look, dude. And I heard Matt Jones talking about it yesterday. He said, look, if a guy tells you to carry your pads, they want to give you a stupid haircut.
Shave Jones's head.
Yeah, you deal with it. I mean, it's all good. It's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, to go beyond that, I mean, and to get so.
To leave those voicemails, I think that was a little extreme for sure.
Well, this dude's obviously not playing with a full deck.
No.
He may not even be playing with like a half a deck.
How many guys do in the league play with a full deck, though?
Well, a lot of them at least they know how to comport themselves away from the field. I expect you to play like a wild man on Sunday or Thursday. Or sometimes on Saturday.
Yeah.
But never do I expect you to act like that, you know, or Monday, right. Yeah. I don't expect you to act like that off the field. Just really disappointing and surprising.
But do you find it surprising that no of the guys are sticking up for Martin?
That is weird.
That to me.
This is Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace is a former Ole Miss receiver who's now with the Dolphins. He's a 5-year veteran, which is hard to believe.
First year with the Dolphins, though, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. But it's surprising me he's been out of the league out of college this long. I didn't realize he'd been gone that long.
Yeah.
Very talented guy.
Lightning fast.
Yeah, one of the few receivers I remember off those Ole Miss teams.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think he was part of the Cotton Bowl wins when Houston was there.
I'm not so sure about that.
Five years ago.
It'd be very close.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because he's been in the league 5 years. Think about it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm pretty sure if anybody felt that way, they would have said something if they felt like it was going far. But I feel like it was normal days, like people doing what they do on a daily basis. And, you know, people have bad days. You know, maybe it was a bad day. Just wasn't feeling it. I really don't know, but I don't feel like it was anything out of the ordinary. I don't feel like anybody was being bullied, hazed, none of that. I feel like we were doing things that football teams do, playing with your brothers, and, you know, I don't know how he took it. So I'm not really going to say too much about it because I don't know.
I don't know if it's out of the ordinary. I don't know if it's okay or not okay. I wasn't there. I don't know what's acceptable.
Yeah, we're not in the NFL locker room.
I do
like
know
that.
This. When I see guys like Tom Jackson and Chris Carter, people I respect, going off and being as upset as they were about it last night, and to a man that over-the-top upset about it, I got to believe, and I'm sure they know a lot more of the ins and outs of what was going on there than I do.
Probably.
That it was a lot worse, and you may see more come out on it, but they were bent out of shape about it last night. It was very surprising to me. It is also strange, like you said, that there weren't more guys sticking up for him. And
for
maybe
Martin.
Yeah, and maybe
yes.
This stuff was not done in front of the teammates on a regular basis. Maybe it only happened a couple of times in front of them. There is a story out this morning. This is from a ranking club source with the Dolphins. He's done. Talking about Incognito. There are procedures in place, and everyone wants to be fair. The NFL is involved. But from a club perspective, he'll never play another game here. The thing that amazes me too, Chris, at this point, and I understand tradition, and I'm all for it. I'm all for picking on the younger guys. I'm all for kind of giving them a little bit of a welcome to the league moment, especially the guys who make the big money probably need to be knocked down a notch. It's probably good for them, and they want to be accepted
anyway.
You
think it's bonding at the same time, especially if everyone kind of goes through the same process of getting into the league and being you know, kind of brought into the group?
At the same time, it amazes me, though, when we talk about how much different kids are at the college level and how much you can't get away with that you could get away with back in the day. There are things that coaches would have done that they could never do today. Bobby Knight would not be able to coach in this environment the way he did back in the 70s and 80s. He just couldn't. You couldn't get by with it. You could not get away with it. And, of course, ultimately, some of his behavior helped lead to him being ushered out. It did not help his reputation by any means when some of this stuff got leaked. The bottom line is that kind of stuff is going on. People are more cognizant of it. You saw the coach at Rutgers get canned over being a little too aggressive with players. It is amazing to me that guys would let other peers treat them in this way, though. I'm okay with, again, the carry my pads, serve your punishment. You know, we'll cut, you know, shave your... But when I see guys being taped to you know, goalposts and stuff, and I'm not a sissy about stuff like this, I don't mind guys being guys. It's all good. I'm not even upset about it. I'm just simply saying it's a little surprising to me in this environment that guys allow other guys to do that to them over the top, above and beyond. And I'm okay picking up a dinner here or there.
Yeah.
And it's like Matt said, too. The veterans are not stupid. If you're a seventh-round pick, they're not going to have you out picking up a $10,000 dinner tab. They're not ridiculous.
No.
I mean, they understand. But if you're a first-round guy and you're making first-round money and it's really good cash.
Some money better than the veterans are making, by the way.
Well, and they fixed some of that, which is good. But, I mean, you know, I'm fine with them picking up a tab or two. That's fine. But anyway, I think there has to be a limit to what is okay and what isn't. And somebody needs to stand up and go, look, this is as far as it can go. You know, and this is not okay. And I'm just surprised that more guys have not. And there was a big deal about that. You remember, I think it was Dez Bryant.
Yes.
One of the...
he refused to carry the pads.
Of one of the older receivers. And I can't remember who it was. Somebody who's established and respected.
Yes.
And he said, I ain't
doing
it.
Was it Miles Austin?
Maybe so.
Yeah, someone like that. Yeah.
But anyway, the bottom line is he's like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And it raised a big ruckus. I remember that. And at the time, I think I probably was not in Dez Bryant's favor. Although, at the same time, I would say, why should I have to? It's something you can live with. As long as it's not something that's demeaning or something that is so offensive, I don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, it's not – I mean, it. You define humiliation. I don't think that's public humiliation by any means. That's just kind of the hey, welcome to the club. Hey, carry my pads. You saw Ryan Mallett did that in New England. They stacked the pads up on him his rookie year and made him carry to the locker room. I don't think that's a big deal. Does it surprise you – talk about Tom Jackson and Chris Carter. Does it surprise you two guys who played – old school, you know, at least Tom Jackson did. Chris Carter played in three different decades. And probably what they went through, you know, when it comes to the league that really didn't have all these rules set in place with hazing and whatnot, that even they were that upset about. And imagine some of the things that they've seen over the years and heard about over the years. For them to be that upset, I think there's more to this. There has to be. For people to be that upset about something that really is, like you heard the players, it's just every day.
Yeah, well, he's...
What is it?
Officially, he's suspended indefinitely. If they cut him today, tomorrow, you know there's more that's going to come out about it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, he's been very vehemently denying all of it. He's been defending himself on Twitter, going at him, at Adam Schefter,
that's
I think.
That's a great avenue.
Yeah.
That always works, yeah.
So here's Joe Philbin talking about it. And again, I think Joe Philbin is, while they haven't won a lot under his leadership, I think he's a pretty good dude. If you saw the HBO show, the
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Yes.
I can remember the name of that show.
The way he cut Chad Johnson.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think I think he handles his business pretty well. Now, whether or not he's a good enough coach to win a bunch of games or they can get the right guys in place to win a bunch of games, I don't know.
We'll see.
But here are his thoughts on the situation down there.
As the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, I'm in charge of the workplace atmosphere. Everything we've done to this facility has been done with one thing in mind, and that is to help our players and our organization reach their full potential. And any type of conduct, behavior that detracts from that objective is not acceptable and it's not tolerated. I will tell you that if the review shows that this is not a safe atmosphere, I will take whatever measures are necessary to ensure that it is. I have that obligation to the players that I coach on a daily basis, and I will do that. The information that I received, I took under consideration, and I felt this was the appropriate action. I'm not going to get into the specifics of what it was, but I had enough information, I felt, to make a good decision, and that's exactly what I did. He never mentioned to me any accusation of any inappropriate behavior. It was never mentioned at any point, not in the meeting that I had with him, not in the phone conversation that I had with him.
So, there you go.
What does it say about the coach, too? I mean, this goes back to control, and this is a professional working environment. I think it's different from college, where you're supposed to kind of be that father figure to the kids and to the players. As a professional head coach, your job is to win on Sundays and to manage your team. Would this play a role in your management at the same time, controlling the behavior,
Some of that stuff, Chris, though, I think the players have to set the bar for what's okay, and I'm sure different locker rooms have different standards to
police
some degree.
Themselves.
Yeah, I think, and you probably count on some of that happening. So, and like he said there, I think he's absolved, because to this point, if he hasn't heard a word of complaint from a player, how do you know there's an issue?
Yeah.
You see guys ribbing each other all the time, whether it's in practice, on sidelines, during the games, whatever. They do that. I mean, that's part of the deal. We do it here. I mean,
yeah, you do.
not to the level this got to, but I'm saying we give each other a hard time. I mean, because we're buddies.
Yeah.
The other thing is too, you got a few different elements working here. Okay, you got the race issue, obviously, because you're talking about a white player against a black player who apparently during the argument during the hazing brought race into the picture.
Yes,
that was part of the
voicemail.
Part of the thing that bent those guys out of shape so bad.
Yeah.
The other thing is you have the whole veteran versus rookie situation. So again, there may be guys that don't agree with this part of it, but on this part, they'll defend the guy. So they're in a unique situation there. There are different layers to this story, and so we'll see how it all plays out, obviously. But I think it's not as simple as one guy going after another guy, because there are different layers to the dynamic there with those two particular players.
And is it really just this guy? Because it would be weird to me if a guy like Incognito, if this was the first time he's ever done this. No, it's probably not. He's been in the league for a while. He's probably treated other players maybe similar to this, you know, in terms of the rookie hazing and whatnot. What would those guys have to say? You know, was it something similar and they just overcame, say, hey, you know, I didn't let it get to me. I just said, hey, whatever, I'm going to keep doing my job. You know, or is it one guy who wasn't able to really handle some of those pressures and also some of the way he was treated?
Look, there's stuff that gets said. I mean, look, you know as well as anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, whether we're playing golf or whatever, and that's not going to touch, that's not close to what they talk about, I'm sure, in the NFL locker rooms. But, I mean, I may say something to you, and then if somebody took it out of context, typed it all up, it looks horrific.
Yes.
But we're boys.
Yeah.
It's cool.
In fact, it fires me up, and it makes me want to play better. That's just my personality.
Right. But the other thing is, if I look at this guy over here, and we're not friends, we're not tight, we're not close, but we happen to be teammates, I wouldn't say the same things to this guy that I would say to you as one of my buddies. I may not use the same kind of language with this guy that I would use with you, because we're tight, and I know you're going to take it the right way. If this guy clearly is not responding to it and it's not going well, leave the dude alone.
I mean, back off.
And I think Incognito, at the end of the day, is just stupid. And I think he's a big, bully, loser, idiot. I think that's the bottom line. He's a loser.
Yeah.
He's an idiot. He's a bully. And it's all coming back to bite him now. That's his personality.
It finally caught up to him.
Yeah,
I mean, because he's had a history. We know that.
There is no question. That's my deal. And I don't think it's a race thing. I don't think it's a veteran versus rookie thing. I think it's a stupid versus not so stupid thing. And I think he is way beyond off the charts stupid.
And Martin went to Stanford.
So. Thank you. I count on my linemen.
I'd take his side on the intelligence.
I count on my linemen to be bright. You know what I mean? That's the one position you can normally count on. Those guys are going to comport themselves in the right way. Those are not the guys that are out clubbing late until 4 or 5 in the morning. Typically, those are the guys you can count on to be pretty solid. Incognito's not solid.
No.
And again, look, for me, I don't want to sit up here in my ivory tower. I'm not better than anybody else. I've done things I would like to have back. And at the same time, I also am an Iowa State graduate who was brought up to hate Nebraska. So this is easy for me. You know what I mean? But I think, again, I mean.
So is he done?
I mean, Lawrence Phillips is sitting around going, what a bad guy. What a bad guy. Sure, I dragged my girlfriend down the stairs by her hair. But what a bad guy this Incognito guy is.
Can't believe he would do
something like
that.
What a terrible human being. Anyway, we'll see. And this may all be overblown. It may turn out to be not much. We'll see. Maybe they'll reinstate him. I don't know. I'm certainly open to that. But I do think if the guys were that bent out of shape, on the set, and I'm going to guess that they have a lot more information than we do, that there may be more to the story. We'll see.
Steve.
Okay. Steve, hold
He's
on.
Incognito.
Bye, Steve.
Steve is incognito.
Put a little bow on it.
Great job.
Can always count on you for that. Got some Keithley Service Coming Live fan feedback on this particular topic. We will visit about it. Razorback basketball tonight on The Buzz. Exhibition, second and final for the Razorbacks. They all start counting after this. Ran into Joe Klein Monday, or last night rather.
Yeah.
Monday, they have a, I guess I ran into him Monday too, because yesterday was
that
Monday.
Would be, yeah.
Ran into him yesterday, their first game at the Jack. It's their first home game, and they're one of very few in the early season because they play a lot of road games.
Tough non-conference schedules for both the men and the women this year.
The women at least get some of those games like LSU at home.
That's true.
I am going to travel with the Trojans to the Virgin Islands, too.
You are not.
Yeah, just, I mean, I just want to make sure everything is gets handled the right way.
Oh, man. You need someone to carry the bags or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Anything? The basketballs. Come on, Joe.
I'm asking. You know what? The good news is I could hide in Klein's luggage. Do bigger people have bigger luggage? Surely, right?
It makes sense.
I mean, think
bigger clothes, you need a bigger bag.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, but for Joe, I mean, you're just bringing like a bunch of like shorts and flowery shirts, right, to the Virgin Islands?
Joe's not even going to wear a shirt. He's just going to go out there. Go out there in the trunks.
Oh, big pasty Klein on the sideline. Take care of the ball. Play the ball. Like when Joe gets bent out of shape.
Oh, yeah. Him and Shields.
They're true.